Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 2.4, Organizing Research Materials and References. If you watch the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by connecting the topic to real university experiences, study challenges, confidence, and practical academic habits.
I'm really glad we're doing this because effective organization, it really isn't just about neatness. It's a core academic habit.
Right. It's not just like color coding your folders for fun.
Exactly. It fundamentally improves your productivity and your accuracy as a student. Without it, you know, things unravel fast.
Oh, totally. I mean, I want you, the listener, to imagine a scenario for a second. It is 3:00 a.m. Your final research paper is due at 8:00.
A classic university timeline.
Oh, yeah. You're exhausted, your eyes are burning, but you finally found it. The absolute perfect quote. The one piece of evidence that, you know, perfectly ties your entire thesis together.
Best feeling in the world.
Right. So you paste it into your document, and then your blood just runs cold. You have absolutely no idea where that quote came from.
The worst feeling in the world.
Yeah. You are just staring at this chaotic folder. It's got a document literally titled Notes Final Final V3, right? Plus like 40 different unnamed PDFs and a random screenshot.
Just a total nightmare.
It really is that panic, that feeling of your stomach dropping. Our mission today is to completely eliminate that from your life. We are moving from the chaos of messy notes to basically the confidence of a structured system.
And it is such a visceral feeling, that 3:00 a.m. panic. Unfortunately, it's a completely universal experience for so many university students.
I've definitely been there.
We all have. But moving past that panic, you know, it isn't just about trying to make things look pretty on your desktop. We are talking about fundamentally rewiring how you interact with information.
Rewiring how you interact. I like that.
Yeah, because the reality is, without a rigorous system, your brain is doing double duty. It's trying to synthesize incredibly complex theories, which is hard enough, while simultaneously acting as a really poorly optimized filing cabinet.
I can personally attest to the cost of that. I remember writing a paper on post-structuralism my junior year. I had this sticky note on my desk that just said Foucault with two question marks.
Just Foucault. That's it?
That's it. No page number, no book title. I spent 3 hours, three incredibly valuable hours, just re-skimming a dense 400-page text trying to find one single paragraph.
And let me guess, you didn't find it?
Nope. I didn't find it. I had to leave it out, got marked down for missing evidence, and it completely unraveled my confidence.
See, and that unraveling is exactly what happens when you treat your notes like, well, static, isolated files rather than a dynamic system.
Right.
Think about the cognitive load you were under in that moment. Your brain is a brilliant processor, but it is a terrible hard drive.
A terrible hard drive. That is such a good way to put it.
It really is. This is actually a core concept in one of the materials we'll be discussing today. It's a book called The Organized Mind by Daniel J. Levitin.
Oh, yeah. He dives deeply into the neuroscience of all this, right?
He does. He explains that our working memory can only hold a very limited amount of information at once. It's often called the magical number 7, plus or minus 2 items.
So like holding a phone number in your head.
Exactly. So when you are forcing your working memory to remember the name of an author and the tab you left an article open in and the page number of a quote,
you literally have no neural bandwidth left to actually analyze the text.
Precisely. You're maxed out.
So it's not an intellect problem at all. It's an infrastructure problem.
That's a perfect summary. When you offload that storage function into a trusted system, when you basically externalize your memory, you free up your prefrontal cortex.
You clear out the RAM, so to speak.
Yes. You clear the RAM so you can actually focus on higher order thinking, making connections, and crafting arguments, which is what university is actually about.
I love thinking about it that way. You know, it reminds me of the culinary concept of mise en place.
Oh, the French cooking term.
Yeah, exactly. It means putting everything in its place before you even turn on the stove.
Right. Chopping the onions, measuring the spices, all of that.
Exactly. Isn't trying to write a paper with scattered notes like trying to cook a massive 5-course meal in a messy kitchen where you don't even know where the ingredients are?
It absolutely is.
Because it's not just about knowing where the salt is. It's about the chef's state of flow. Mm. If you are frantically chopping onions while a delicate sauce is simmering on the stove, that sauce is going to break.
Yeah, it ruins a whole dish.
And in academia, your core argument is that delicate sauce. You cannot tend to it if you are sprinting around your digital kitchen looking for a missing PDF.
That is a phenomenal analogy, because when a chef uses mise en place, they are designing an environment where their focus is entirely protected.
Protected focus.
Right. And in academic research, we call this knowledge management. It cascades. If your ingredients are prepped, meaning your sources are tagged, organized, and properly cited the literal moment you download them, you avoid the cascade of failure.
The cascade of failure being that 3.0 AM panic we talked about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The cascade usually starts with one lost reference, which leads to a citation error, which creates massive friction in your writing flow and ultimately results in hours of wasted time.
Which brings us to the actual mechanics of doing this. Because, you know, I think a lot of listeners here organize your references and they just picture making a couple of new folders on their desktop.
Oh, the classic new folder one, new folder two.
Yeah, like here's my History 101 folder, done, I'm organized. But at the university level, that is basically like trying to navigate a sprawling metropolis without any street signs.
It's completely insufficient.
Right. We need to talk about the actual tools and techniques,
yeah,
specifically things like metadata and citation management software.
We do, because a simple folder structure just cannot handle complex research. A single article might be relevant to three different classes or, you know, multiple different concepts.
And if it's just buried in the History 101 folder,
it's dead to you the moment that class ends. You'll never find it again. This is where tools like Zotero or Mendeley or even workspaces like Notion come in. They don't just hold files like a dump folder. They capture metadata.
Okay, for the listener who might not be familiar with how deep that goes, explain what we mean by metadata in this context, because I actually tried using Zotero to fix my messy habits a while back, and the way it works feels almost like magic.
It really does feel like magic the first time you use it.
Yeah.
So metadata is simply data about data.
Yep.
When you find an incredible peer-reviewed article online, instead of downloading a mysteriously named PDF like, you know, JSTOR12345.pdf and
yeah,
dragging it to a folder, you just click a little browser extension.
It does the work for you.
It does all the work. The software automatically pulls the title, the author's name,
yeah,
the publication date, the journal, the volume, the issue,
yeah,
even the digital object identifier, or DOI.
That is huge.
It stores all of that instantly. You're essentially building a personal, fully searchable library.
Okay, but I'm going to step in and play devil's advocate for a second.
Go for it.
Okay, setting up folders, tags, and citation software sounds great, but doesn't this take up valuable time when you could just be writing? I mean, I vividly remember my mindset as a stressed out undergrad. If you told me to pause my reading to learn a new piece of software, I would have looked at you like you were crazy.
Totally fair.
I would have thought, I have a 10-page paper due on Friday. Setting up a relational database sounds like highly productive procrastination. I just need to write.
It is the most common hesitation, without a doubt, and it's understandable. When you are under a deadline, any new system feels like a roadblock.
A massive roadblock.
But we have to gently dismantle this misconception. Setting up a reference manager is not an interruption to your work. It is an investment. Tracking references early drastically reduces friction later.
How does it reduce friction in the actual moment of writing, though, like practically speaking?
Think about the penalty of context switching.
Okay.
Every time you are in the flow of writing a complex paragraph and you have to stop, open a browser, search your history, find an article, figure out how to format an APA citation, and type it out.
You've lost the thread.
You have completely broken your concentration. Studies on productivity show it can take over 20 minutes to regain a state of deep focus after an interruption like that.
Wait, really? 20 minutes just from stopping to do a citation?
Yes, but if you use a reference manager, you don't leave your document. You hit a keyboard shortcut, type the author's name, and the software drops the perfectly formatted citation right into your text.
So it takes like 3 seconds?
It's exactly, 3 seconds. Your flow state remains completely intact. The writing phase becomes significantly faster, and the quality of the work is just drastically improved.
And honestly, it essentially acts as an insurance policy against accidental plagiarism, which is a massive, often unspoken anxiety for students.
Oh, a huge anxiety.
Because in my experience, academic dishonesty almost never comes from some mustache-twirling villain trying to steal ideas.
No, rarely.
It comes from terrible quotation hygiene. You copy a block of text into a Word doc, you forget to put quote marks around it, and 3 weeks later when you're writing the paper, you genuinely think those were your own brilliant words.
That is precisely how catastrophic citation errors happen. It's a symptom of a broken system. When you use dedicated software, you separate the source material from your own synthesis. You maintain a really clear boundary between what the author said and what I think about what the author said.
Which perfectly bridges us into visualizing the system in a real-world university context. Because I want to look at the student case study we reviewed in the lesson materials.
Yes, the student who went from overwhelmed to in control.
Exactly. This was a student who was chronically stressed. They experienced intense anxiety every time a syllabus even mentioned a research paper. But they saw a massive reduction in that writing stress just by implementing this kind of infrastructure using citation management software.
The psychological impact there is so revealing. This student wasn't lacking intelligence or work ethic. They were just buried under administrative chaos.
Right.
When they implemented a citation manager to organize their notes and references, the relief was palpable. Good systems reduce stress and confusion, which is a major factor in building long-term academic confidence.
I always frame the setup as past you giving a massive, incredibly thoughtful gift to future you.
I love that.
Imagine future you. It's the night before the deadline. You are exhausted. But instead of that 3.0 a.m. panic, future you gets to open a document, click a button, and watch a massive, complex bibliography automatically format itself perfectly.
Just absolute emotional relief.
It really is. And so it's time for us to move from the hypothetical student to the listener's own desk. We want to guide you through a reflection prompt from the text.
Yes. Let's take a moment for some self-awareness.
Ask yourself, how can better organization improve my research and writing process? We want you to think critically about your own strengths, your challenges, and the areas you need to improve.
Because everyone's friction points are a little different.
So let me ask you directly, listener. Think about the last major assignment you submitted. Really picture it. Were you scrambling at midnight trying to figure out where a specific quote came from?
Did you have 5 different versions of your essay saved, terrified to delete any of them?
Right. Essay final reel, essay please God be done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Did you avoid starting the research until the last minute because the mere thought of organizing the PDFs gave you a headache?
If you are nodding yes to any of those, well, we have some very reassuring advice for you.
Yes, please listen to this. The goal right now is absolutely not to feel guilty about past messy habits.
No guilt allowed.
None. Structural misunderstandings are incredibly normal. Universities ask students to produce these highly complex projects, but they rarely explicitly teach the knowledge management skills required to pull them off.
You are handed a syllabus and expected to just intuitively know how to manage 100 peer-reviewed sources.
Which is impossible. So recognizing that your current system is flawed shouldn't be a source of shame. It's just a matter of adopting new routines.
And reflection naturally leads to action. Now that you've identified those pain points, what exact steps can you take today? Let's break down the practical application activity from the lesson.
Let's do it.
Because you can create a simple, immediate system right now. It's like laying a foundation before building a house. You can't build a strong essay on a shaky base of unorganized materials.
That's completely true. And the first step is setting up source folders and initiating citation tracking. Pick one tool, Zotero, Mendeley, whatever, and just install it.
Just take the leap.
Yeah. Second, define your note categories. And third, get into the habit of writing brief research summaries.
Okay, let's pause on that last one, because organizing the PDFs is step one, but organizing the ideas inside them is step two. And I want to bring in one of the recommended books here, How to Take Smart Notes by Sunka Ahrens.
Oh, this book is revolutionary for students.
It really is. It completely shattered my understanding of what research even is. He popularizes the Zettelkasten method.
Right, yes, which translates roughly to slip box or index card system.
Yeah.
And it's a brilliant roadmap for developing a personal knowledge management system.
Yeah, and Ahrens's core argument is that we are all taught the wrong order of operations. We are taught brainstorm a topic, do the research, and then write the paper.
The standard high school method.
Right. But he argues that writing doesn't happen at the end of your research. Writing is the research process.
It challenges everything we learn. Ahrens argues that if you wait until the end to start writing, you are facing the terror of the blank page. You're relying entirely on your exhausted working memory.
Which we already know from Levitin's The Organized Mind is a terrible idea.
Exactly. So Ahrens proposes a bottom-up approach. As you read, you don't just highlight passively. You write down concepts, strictly in your own words, in a few short sentences.
Those brief research summaries we just mentioned.
Yes, if you can't explain it in your own words, you haven't understood it yet.
And then you link those notes together, right? Like building roads between buildings in our city analogy.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And when it comes time to write, you look at this web of interconnected ideas that you've already written out. The paper practically outlines itself.
It turns writing into an act of assembly rather than an act of creation,
yeah.
which is so much less intimidating.
It really is. And it's important to note that this doesn't have to happen all at once. It's a gradual process.
Definitely. And there are other great roadmaps, too, like the Literature Review by Marshy and McAvoy, which is excellent for methodically structuring those arguments once your sources are organized.
Absolutely essential reading.
Okay, we've covered incredible ground today. From the 3.0 AM panic to the neuroscience of memory, right down to setting up a citation manager. Let's reflect on the ultimate takeaway here.
The ultimate takeaway is that good systems reduce stress and confusion.
They really do. They clear the path for genuine learning and better writing.
When you aren't fighting your own disorganized files, you get to actually be a scholar rather than just a frantic filing clerk.
I love that. So as we wrap up, we want to leave you with some calm, supportive encouragement. Building these habits is a gradual process. Focus on consistency. You are building your confidence and setting yourself up for lifelong learning.
And we explicitly encourage you to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities. Apply these newly learned skills today.
We also want to formally acknowledge the fantastic reference materials that guided us today. Sunka Arens, Daniel J. Levitin, and Mashi and McAvoy. And of course, tools like Zotero, Mendeley, and Notion.
They are the modern scholar's best partners.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Thank you.
Before you go, I want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. Think back to our mise en place culinary analogy. We know a good system prevents disaster, right? But what if it goes beyond just avoiding a crisis? What if your organization system eventually becomes your most trusted academic partner rather than just a chore? What if the kitchen actually starts cooking with you? Think about it.